seats, everyone. How many appreciate the cross of Calvary? Aren't you glad for the cross? Aren't you glad for the cross? Amen. How many know the cross made the difference? Praise God. Good to see all of you in service this morning. We're still down some. I don't know if the fireworks kind of took its toll and people are still thinking they're going to show some more. Or they got home very, very, very late and they're still in bed sleeping. But we are glad that you're here. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you came to church. We're glad for all of you. And those of you that didn't get out of your seats, I welcome all of you. God bless you. It's good to see you in God's house today. You look good. Amen. Say amen. That means you agree. You look good. Amen. How many are glad you're flawless? Flawless. Praise the Lord. If you get a chance, go on our page and view the video of Mercy Me Flawless. We taught on that Wednesday night. Wow, what a time we had. Does anybody love Jesus? Boy, you guys are the quietest group. It's the best Baptist church I've ever been in. Does anybody love Jesus? Thank you. Man, I'm home. Praise the Lord. Good to have all of you with us this morning. We're going to welcome our National Youth Director, Brother Randy Lawrence, all the way from Texas, is with us today. Would you give him a hand as he comes and takes his liberty?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right. It's great to see everyone. And how many had a good 4th of July?
Amen.
All right. Proud to be an American, right? Yeah, all right. Awesome. Awesome. It is such an honor to be with you this morning, and greetings from Fort Worth, Texas, where it's nice and warm there, just like it is here in California. So it's such an honor to be here with you, and we love your pastors and their family. And I've actually got to be here once before, so it's a great honor to be anywhere, but then to get invited back is a double honor. So thank you for having us back. And my wife and four little children are with us this weekend, so we're excited. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16, and I'm excited to just share with you for a few minutes from my heart. I was laughing as they were talking about the fireworks, because we were on the road. We've been on the road since Wednesday, and our kids were looking forward to fireworks, and we're like, hey, listen, California is huge. We are going to find the biggest fireworks show you have ever seen in your life. Okay, so we're driving, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to make this happen, and so we're Googling all these fireworks shows, and so we know we can make it to Sacramento in time. So I'm like, hey, it's the capital city, they're going to rock it out. And so then I was like, oh, there's one at the state fairgrounds. I'm like, surely this is going to be amazing. So we pull in literally at 9:29. The fireworks are supposed to, show at 9:30. And to make a long story short, if you've seen the news, they had technical difficulties. So, But, in the eyes of my 2 and 4 year old, they were fooled. They were like, there was only about 2 minutes of fireworks, but they were like, this is amazing. So the older kids, it's kind of hard to fool them. They're like, what in the world? Where's the rest of the fireworks at? So, but I heard you guys had some good fireworks here. So next time I know, right? Just skip the Capitol and come to Oroville, right? All right, good deal. All right, Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 16, and just preach for a few minutes this morning from Acts chapter 16, and we'll look at verse 16. I do want to make mention, and I'm not one of those preachers that has like a table out back with CDs. Nothing wrong with any of that at all, okay? But I am excited that I just finished a book that just came out about 2 weeks ago, and so it's called The Burn Factor, and I've got a couple of them here with me today. So if you would like, maybe if you have trouble falling asleep at night, this might help you. You can just pick it up and start reading. But I do have a few of them back there at the youth table. So if you'd like to pick one up, if you like to read, if not, it's on Amazon as well, if you'd like to check it out. And all the proceeds of this book actually go. This is really exciting. But next year, Pastor mentioned that I am the National Youth Director, so I get the privilege of serving our young people all across not only the U.S., but the globe. And next year, we're doing something really exciting, and that is we're taking all of the preacher's kids all the preacher's kids across the country, and we're putting on a week of camp that's just for them. So we're really excited about that. And so all the proceeds from the book are going to go directly to fund that camp, because we're trying to do that for free for all of our preachers' kids. You be in prayer for that as well for us. Okay, Acts chapter 16, and we'll look at verse 16, and it says this: Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her master as much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Verse 19, But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. They brought them to the magistrates and said, These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, verse 25 says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God. We are grateful that this is the day that you have made. And so, Lord, we rejoice and we are glad for it, Lord. We thank you for your word, and we ask that your word would just come alive today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would quicken our hearts and minds and just allow us to receive from your word today. And we give you thanks and praise for what you are going to do in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. 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 I want to talk to you this morning on this thought for a few moments, and that is a whole lot of shaking going on. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and tell them a whole lot of shaking going on. Now, I should know better than preaching on that topic in the state of California, right? Okay? I did think about that when I crossed over into the state and it said the, San Bernardino? Is that the fault line or whatever? Yeah, is that how you say it? San Andreas. I totally butchered that. It's okay. So I was so close. That's right. You heard nothing else, right? So I thought, oh man, we're right here on the fault line. But in this story, there's an earthquake that happens. This is an interesting story because in the Bible times, this was a very strategic moment for where the church was, the early church, the Christians, the believers. In fact, the chapter before this story happens, the Bible makes a clear something very important that happens, and that is the church had met and they had decided that they were going to allow Gentile believers basically to receive the gospel, made it easier. And I don't know, but if you're here today and you're not a Jew, okay, that is something for us to be very thankful for and grateful for, because of that decision, that monumental change, that decision that was made, the gospel then went into the whole earth from there. So it was a season of transformation, it was a season of change in the early church. And in the story, we see that Paul and Silas, they begin to position themselves to be in the right place at the right time. Someone once said that timing is everything. But what's more important is that you're in the right place at the right time. So you got to learn how to position yourself. And from this story, we see how the early disciples were positioning themselves. The other day, I was watching a baseball game with my son, Chase, who's 8 years old. And we're learning the game, and so it's been fun for me to sit back and watch him and to teach him the game. And so we're watching on TV, we're watching the Texas Rangers, who are really struggling this year, okay? But we are watching them, and I was saying, now look at this, Chase, look at the third baseman, look where he's at, look at the shortstop, look where he's at. And then when the next batter came up to bat, the infield completely shifted around. And the coach, they shifted the infield, so the third baseman moved over, and he was playing where shortstop was, and my son just looked at it, and he's like, they're out of place. They're not standing in the right spot. And so I had to explain to him, well, here's why, because the coach, they've done research, and they've looked at the odds of where this batter's going to hit, and so they are positioning those infielders in the right place so that where they can be. How many knows being in the right place at the right time is very important? I've been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it's equally not as important, or you don't get the positive results. The first time I was in California driving, I ended up being at the wrong place at the wrong time at a red light in L.A. And so $1,200 later, okay, I learned my lesson about your state. Your state doesn't fool around with being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So being at the right place, I'm going to say the right place at the right time. So you have to position yourself. Now, what does this mean for us today? Well, this means for us today, see, growing up, I would tell people, I tell teenagers all the time that growing up, I was a drug addict, meaning this, that my mom and dad, they drugged me to Sunday school. They drugged me to Sunday morning, Sunday night. Anytime the doors of the church were open, I was there, okay? So I was there and I was brought in. So I heard from a young age that Jesus was coming back, right? He's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back, okay? But if we really read the Bible and we pay attention to the times that we're living in, we understand that he is coming back very soon. So his return is coming soon, okay? His return is coming soon, and so that means that we have to know the times that we're living in. And while it might seem like it's a dark hour, and it might seem like our world might be headed in the wrong direction, we have to believe as the body of Christ that God's word says that he's coming back for a glorious church. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So, you know, we as the body of Christ, we're referred to as the bride of Christ, okay? How many of you, if you've ever been to a wedding, raise your hand. Let me see, okay? We have 100%. We have 100%. So we've all been to a wedding, okay? What is the apex of the ceremony? It's when the back doors open and who walk in? The bride, right? The bride walks in. Everyone's like, oh, man, she's awesome. Wow. Okay, all the softies like me start crying. Even if you don't know them, you're like, oh, my gosh. I can't believe this day has come. Okay, well, as the body of Christ, we are the bride of Christ. So if we are going out of here, okay, we're not going out suffering and limping. Okay, we're going out making a difference in the world that we live in. So it's important that in the hour we're living in, especially in the day and hour that we're living in, it's important that we be in the right position. Okay, so let's look from this story about how we can position ourselves. We make sure we're in the right place. And the first thing I want to leave you with three things. The first one is this, is that you have to expect resistance. Can you say that with me? Say, expect resistance. Look at verse 16. It says, now it happened as we went to prayer. It happened as we went to prayer that this slave girl comes out and she begins to follow these men around, Paul and Silas, and shouting out these things. So you have to understand something, and that is this. When you position yourself, either individually or as a family or a home or a body of believers, when you position yourself and you say, you know what, we're going to focus on the things of God, we're going to set ourselves to grow spiritually, as you position yourself in that direction, the first thing you have to understand is you better expect resistance, okay? The Bible says as they went to prayer, now it happened as they went to prayer, that's when the next thing, the resistance came. See, it didn't come as they went to the fellowship meeting or they went to the potluck dinner, okay, but as they went to prayer, as they set their minds on saying, you know what, we are going to pray, we're going to seek the Lord, that's when the resistance comes in. You know, you can just drift through life and just have a casual life, a casual family, an average life. But the moment that you decide, and that life would be very boring, okay, and very miserable, okay. But the minute that you make a decision, hey, I really want to get serious about the things of God, our family, we want to serve God, that's when you can expect that resistance will come. My dad used to always tell me, son, dogs will never bark at parked cars. They'll never bark at parked cars. But it's the cars that are going somewhere. Okay, it's the cars that are going, somebody that's doing something, that's when you start getting the attention. See, the enemy, he doesn't mind, it doesn't bother him one bit if you're like, you know, I'm just going to hit cruise control, just go through these things, you know, I'll show up at a service or two, you know, make sure that I make my grandma or my mom happy, or that's the right thing to do. Okay, but the moment that you're like, you know what, I really do want to serve God. I want to know what He has for my life. And the moment you make the decision like Joshua did that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Okay, the moment that you sit down, husbands, with your wife and you say, you know what? I want to have a godly marriage. I want to have a godly home. Okay, when you make that decision, okay, that's when you can know that expect resistance. Right. Because you're headed somewhere, you're headed in the right direction, you're making positive progress, and you're headed towards the things of God. You see, the Lord desires for us to grow. He desires for us to, you know, seek after spiritual things. But here's the thing I found is that those things just don't happen on accident. You one day just don't wake up and just like, oh man, this is wonderful, this is awesome. It takes work. You know, we've got four kids, and sometimes it can become a chore to do anything. Our kids are ages 2, 4, 6, and 8. So like I say, who do we appreciate? We appreciate my wife, right? Because she handles them all the time. But simple things like bedtime chores, you know, brushing teeth. Brushing teeth can become like, I mean, it's like World War III. I mean, and where did the toothbrushes go? And whose is whose? And it's amazing. I've went to the store. I've made multiple trips to Walmart throughout my life buying toothbrushes. And I don't know where they go. I don't know where they go. But if you've ever walked down the toothbrush aisle recently, okay, it's amazing. Okay? Really, seriously, follow me. There are toothbrushes that play songs to you. There are toothbrushes that light up and flash. And then they'll stop when, you know, you're supposed to stop brushing. I'm serious. I'm not making this up. Okay? There are, you know, they have toothbrushes that take batteries. All this stuff. It's amazing the toothbrushes out there. I've never seen one that'll hop up and brush your teeth. Never. It doesn't matter, it can play music, play songs, light up, but you still have to get out the toothpaste. You got to spread on the toothpaste. You got to get it out and you got to brush. You have to be intentional, right? You have to be intentional. You see, it's the same with your spiritual growth. You won't have this life where you're like, man, I'm experiencing more of God and I love what's happening. It doesn't happen by accident. Yeah, it has to be intentional about it, right? And so I'm just telling you, when you take that first step, okay, man, that's awesome. But keep going and expect resistance. That's just normal. It's just normal. As they went to pray, the scripture said, as they went to pray, that's when the resistance came to him. Okay? So what happens often is, I don't know about you, but for me, I get comfortable in my habits and routine, right? Okay, I get comfortable. I like things done in a certain way. At the beginning of this year, my wife and I were brave, and we decided to clean out our closets, okay? And that's really hard for me because I don't like letting go of anything, okay? So I had clothes in there that are like, I hadn't fit since like a junior in high school. But I'm like, I am holding on to this because one day I will lose enough weight and I'll get back in this shirt right here, okay? And I'm holding on to it. And I'm in the closet and I'm surrounded by, and I'm just like, I'm like, look at yourself. You look ridiculous. You're holding on to this stuff. But you know what? It was, I'm getting help over here. I'm getting help with Bo, right? I'm getting help from Bo. Bo knows what's going on. Bo knows, okay? Bo knows. So I'm having trouble. Here's why. Because we like our things, right? We like our old things. You see, if you read through the Bible, though, you'll notice this thing about God. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means he's always the same. He never changes. But here's what's amazing about God. God loves to do new things. Okay? So we read scriptures like, forget the former things of old. See, today I do a new thing. So God loves new things. You read through the Bible, you read about new mercies, new covenant, new wine, new time, all these things. He gives us new life. So he loves new things. But here's the problem. Often we like our old things. We like the way we've always done stuff. We like the way we've always done church. We like the way, you know, hey, you broke the rules. We're supposed to do announcements first, then sing, then take, oh, no. You can't change it up on us. You can't change it up on us. We've always done it this way. But you see, God's different because he's not in our method and he's not in our way. He's God. So he likes to do things new. I mean, look through the Bible at the way that God would heal blind people. Okay? Now watch. Sometimes God would come up to blind people and he would lay his hands on their eyes and they'd be healed. Sometimes we read in scripture where God would say, be healed. He would never touch them and their eyes would be open. So as you can imagine, the early believers, they're probably like, man, what are we supposed to do? Do we lay hands on them? Do we speak the word over them? Then this one guy walks up, he's blind, and Jesus is like, man, I'm going to really trip them all out. He hops, spits in the mud, takes the mud, puts it on the guy's eyes, and then says, you go wash in the river. And the disciples had to be sitting there going, what is going on with this guy? He was setting a precedent we need to learn, and that is this: he's not in our methods. He's not really about our habits. He's about doing something new. Okay, and anytime you go to do something new, expect resistance. Expect resistance. The next guy walked up that was blind and deaf, and Jesus really blew all their minds. He gave instruction. He took the guy's fingers and put them in his ears. This is 2,000 years before Q-tips, okay? Pulled his fingers out, then had him touch his tongue. And immediately he was healed. Gross, exactly, right? Gross. But immediately he was healed. We see things like this all through the Bible because Jesus was all about doing new things. Ever say new things? So when you position yourself and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna be serious about this. I'm gonna be serious about my family. Listen, husbands and wives that are here today, okay? Because listen, there is no perfect marriage, okay? But listen, the greatest example that we can have to this world, okay, is a godly, healthy marriage, okay? And listen, the enemy loves to fight marriages. He loves to fight family. So listen, just hear me today. The minute that you make a covenant to each other and you say, you know what? We're going to serve God. We're going to have a godly family. Listen, expect resistance, but don't let it stop you. Don't let it stop you. That just means that you're headed somewhere. You're headed in the right direction. Okay. Never settle for just, well, we're just going to go through life and we're just going to do whatever is going to happen. We just want average. You don't want average. Okay. You want what God has the best for you. Okay. You want what God has the best. The other day, my daughter, she graduated from kindergarten. I went in and they had pictures on the wall, right? And all the things the kids wanted to be when they grow up. So they had these kids and they had big signs with big smiles, okay? Doctor, you with me? You know, football player, okay? Race car driver, scientist. And then we get to Maya and it says, Walmart cashier. I mean, she had the biggest smile on her face. And there's nothing wrong. If you're here and you work for Walmart, there's nothing wrong with that, okay, at all. At all. Please don't misunderstand me. Okay, but I realized I needed to have a conversation with Maya and say, hey, Maya, it's okay to dream big, okay? So listen, it's okay to dream. Listen, refuse to settle for what society says your family will be. Okay, society says today you can't have a healthy family, your kids can't serve God, your marriage can't survive. Okay, listen, you will never find this in God's word. Okay, God's for you, he's for your family, he's for your marriage, so you just believe it, expect resistance, and go on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Quickly, number two is this. So first, you need to expect resistance. Number two is this, you got to have the courage to confront. Can you say that with me? Say, have the courage to confront. Verse 18, here's where we see it. Basically, here's what happens. This young girl is following Paul and Silas around. And she's saying, these men, they are servants of the Most High God. Listen to what they have to say. Day after day, they kept saying this. So on the outside, this looked like it was good, right? Listen to what they have to say. Listen to what they have to say. But Paul realized at some point, listen, this lady, she didn't have the right heart. she had the wrong motives, okay? She was working for a, she had an evil spirit about her. She was working for these owners, all these things. So finally, Paul stops one day, and he has the courage to confront the issue. Now, here's where most of us stop, because having the courage to confront some things, okay, it takes some courage on our part, and it's difficult. It's not always easy. See, he had the courage to basically call her out for what she was. She wasn't really concerned with, hey, listen to these guys talk. They have news from God. Her heart was all in the wrong area. Okay, just like in the Bible, we read of Judas Iscariot, the disciple, okay, who betrayed Jesus. We read the story where Mary came in and the disciples were gathered around Jesus. And Mary came in with a very costly bottle of perfume. And she took this perfume that many believe was worth a whole year's wages, and she poured it on Jesus' feet. Okay, and so and as the disciples are sitting there and Mary is worshiping Jesus, okay, Judas speaks up and says, what a waste. This money. We could have took this money and we could have sold it and fed the poor people. Okay, Judas should have won an Oscar, okay, for his performance here, okay? Because Judas had his hand in the money jar, okay? Judas wasn't concerned with feeding the poor. Judas wanted to take the oil down to the pawn shop and get his cut out of it, okay? That's the truth. And sometimes you have to have the courage to confront issues for what they are, okay? And so Paul stops and he says, you know what, hold on for a second. You're saying all this stuff that looks good on the outside, but you, in your heart's not in the right place. See, if you want to take that next step and position yourself and you want to grow, you want to place yourself in the right place, then you have to have the courage to confront some things. And here's where it gets difficult, is because none of us like to confront the issues in our own heart, right? None of us like to confront the issues in our own heart. I remember one day I was having a very casual conversation with God about how I would appreciate his help in helping me lose some weight, okay? God, can't you help me? I heard this voice from heaven. Put down the Twinkies. Okay, but see, I didn't want to hear that because that involves a confrontation on my part, right? Okay, that involves something on my part that I have to do. You see, but you have to have the courage. If you really want to grow, if you want to experience more God, you have to have the courage to confront some things. You have to confront some people in your life that maybe shouldn't be in your life. Okay, you have the courage to confront some attitudes that maybe you might think they're right, but they're not right. You have the courage to sit down and be honest with yourself and say, you know what, maybe it's me that's wrong. Maybe, just maybe. It's like the young guy who was stranded on a desert island. He had been shipwrecked, and he was on this island all by himself for years. Finally, the day came when he got rescued. He got rescued, and the rescue pilot, as they're flying back to the mainland over the island where he was, the rescue pilot said, hey, I thought you were by yourself on this island. He said, I am. I was. He said, well, there's three beautiful buildings down there. And he said, well, that's right. I made all three of those. He said, well, what are they? He said, well, that first one right there, that's my house. That's where I live. He's like, okay, what's the next one? The next one is the church that I attend. He's like, well, awesome, okay. What's the next one? He said, that's the church I used to attend before I got mad and left. But how many knows it's never us, right? It's never our problems. It's never our issues. But listen to me today. If you want to position yourself, okay, if you want to say position myself. If I want to position myself for growth, if I want to position myself to experience more of God, you're going to have the courage to confront some things. You have to confront some things in your life. See, it comes down to this point. You have to really just be honest and say, you know, how bad do I really want to experience more of God? How bad do I really want to experience growth and change in my life? So you have to begin to position yourself and expect resistance. The third one is this, and that is, so not only do we have to just expect resistance, not only do we have to have the courage to confront some things, but the third thing from this story is that you have to position yourself. Look at verse 25. So basically, after Paul and Silas confront this young lady, the authorities come in, they beat Paul and Silas, and then they throw them into prison, they fasten them in the inner stocks, and look at what verse 25 says. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You see, you have to learn to position yourself. Here's the problem that the keeper of the jail made. The keeper of the jail made the problem when he put Paul and Silas in prison together. Okay. See, you have to make sure that you position yourself with the right people. See, I like to ask, I get to talk to teenagers all the time, which I consider one of the greatest privileges I have. And I ask them questions like this: who are the right they you have in your life? Who are the right they you have in your life? What do you mean by that? Well, where would you be right now if it wasn't for those people that you had in your life? You know, my dad would always tell me growing up, if you want to fly like the eagles, you got to stop running with the turkeys. And so if you show me your friends, I can show you your future. Okay, Paul wrote to the church in Galatians, and he said this: you ran well. You were running well. Who cut in on you? Who cut in on you? Okay. We would interpret that today in today's time being. You know, your marriage was going really well. Who was it you got on Facebook? Who's that old flame you got on Facebook and started connecting with again? You were doing really well. You were coming to church and God was giving you the victory and things were going awesome. Who was it that you got connected back up with that got your eyes distracted on difficult things? See, Paul got locked up with Silas. They had the right heart. They had the right mind. See, what would happen if Paul got locked up with Sister Bucketmouth or Brother Blabberface, okay? That always just wanted to run their mouth. And can you believe this happened to us? We don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. Okay? See, you have to make sure you have the right who in your life. You got to get the right people surrounded by you. Because you know what? They're going to speak life into you. They're going to speak encouragement into your life. If not, you get the wrong people with the wrong mindset, the wrong attitude. You know what that could have happened? Easily Silas could have been like, can you believe we just got treated like this? We just got treated like this. Can you believe this? Can you believe where? And then you get these things. Where's all the other Christians? These people call themselves Christians. They're nothing but hypocrites. I knew it the whole time. Church is just hypocrites, full of hypocrites. No, you got to get the right who in your life, okay, that's connected with you, that's going to keep you focused on where you're directing, that's going to keep you positioned in the right area, okay? So you got to position yourself with the right people. The right people, they keep us focused, they keep us our eyes on the right thing, they keep us going in the right direction. You see, we've got so many today that they just have such a negative aspect on everything in life. You ever met those people? It's like, every single thing is negative. It's like the two young boys I read about one time, and the parents were just completely blown away because these boys were twins. One of them was a complete optimist, and the other one was a complete pessimist. And the parent just could not believe by the twins. And so they took him into this psychiatrist, right? And the psychiatrist takes these two young boys and they says, you know what, we're going to do an experiment. And so they took the negative kid, the pessimist, and they took him into a room. And in this room was full of all these toys. I mean, the room was just stacked high to the toys. And they put the kid in there, and the psychiatrist came back 5 minutes later, and the little boy's on the ground just crying. And the psychiatrist said, young man, what's wrong? He said, if I play with any of these things, I just know they're going to break. I just know they're going to break. It'll break. It'll break. It'll break. And so the psychiatrist is like, wow, just walked out. So then they took the optimist. They put him into this room, and the room was piled high with horse manure. And they shut the door and walked out. The psychiatrist came back 5 minutes later, and the boy is on top of the pile of horse manure. And he comes in, and there is horse manure flying everywhere. And the psychiatrist goes, whoa, whoa, hold on, what's going on? The little boy looks up. He's got it all over him. He goes, with all this horse manure in here, there's got to be a pony somewhere. There's got to be a pony. See, You, listen to me. You got to make sure that you're connecting with the right people. You gotta make sure. And listen, especially in our culture that we're into today with social media, with Facebook, things like this. Listen, get connected with the right people. Don't let somebody cut in on you. Amen. Amen. Don't let somebody cut in on you. You get connected with the right people, okay? And I know if you're like, you know, I spent most of my life, I never had Christian friends. I never had, you know, good people. If I cut off my friends right now, I won't have any friends. Hear me today. It's not the end of the world. God will bring good people into your life. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said, and it was saying, you know, if your eye is causing you to stumble, it's better to lose your eye than to burn in hell, basically. Okay, so listen. Don't sit there going, man, I just don't got no friends. And everybody else is out cruising on Friday night. And this is a bummer being a Christian. Listen, you need to change your mindset. You need to get the right people connected to you, the right thinking. Listen, you're headed somewhere and God's hand's on your life, okay? So expect resistance, position yourself, and get the right people in your life. They're going to encourage you, amen? Amen. And here's the last thing about positioning yourself, and that is this: you have to learn to be a praiser. And our worship team can go ahead and begin to come. You got to learn to be a praiser. Look what verse 25 says. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, and they were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Listen, you have to learn how to position yourself where praise becomes an important part of your life. Even when you're going through trials, even when you're going through tribulations, even when you don't feel like, even when you don't feel like things are happening the way that they should happen, you got to position yourself by being a praiser. You know, you got to take on the mindset that, hey, it's okay, God's in control. Even when you're going through the dark hours and the dark seasons in life, God's in control. You know, many of you today, were so kind. You graciously commented on our children, which we're so thankful for. We're blessed by our kids. They're by no means angels at all. Trust me, I just had a 40-hour road trip with them. But we are blessed by our kids. We're thankful for our kids. And so we're grateful. We love because imparting faith to your kids and your family doesn't happen on accident. It has to be intentional. And I'm a big believer on practicing what I preach. Actually, let me flip that around. I'm a big believer about preaching what I practice. Okay, so faith, my kids, they're not going to get faith from VeggieTales or the Sunday school teacher. They're going to have to get faith from daddy, right? So I refuse to teach my kid how to throw a baseball and not teach him about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, so they're going to get it from mom and dad first. So thank you for the gracious comments about our family. But I'm reminded today as I talk about this point, we all go through dark seasons in life, right? Oh, I remember when we were expecting our first child and we were so excited and just, everybody's excited. You know, we had announced and all this stuff. And then couple months into it, my wife had a miscarriage. And so it was a very, very difficult season. Maybe there's some of you here, you've had that experience. And so it was a dark moment for us. And I remember the day that it happened, we were in the middle of a revival at our church. Where I served as my dad was the pastor, much like he's got his boys here. So it was awesome. And I was his worship pastor. And I knew that here I'm sitting in the doctor's office with my new wife. Not that I had an old wife, but we were recently married. That came out really bad. We'd been married 2 years. Okay, there we go. That's better. Just digging a big old hole. But I'm holding my wife and she's crying and I'm crying, and I know that in a couple hours I gotta go and I gotta lead a couple hundred people in worship. and I had a difficult time. But I learned so much through those seasons. Because what happens is if you can learn to praise God through your trials, if you can learn to praise God when, you know, you're trying to make your marriage work, but it doesn't seem like it's working, or you're trying to impart faith to your kids, but it doesn't seem like it's happening. When you're trying to do this and it doesn't seem like it's happening, listen, don't stop praising. Don't stop praising, okay? You have to believe God and set your mind. Say, you know what, we're going to do this, and we're going to believe God, and we're going to trust God, because God is bigger. God is greater. He is in control. There's more for you than there is against you. And so you believe that, and you position yourself by being a praiser. Amen. Let's stand today. Father, we love you today, God. God, we declare that there is no one like you. If the Lord is for us, the Bible says, then who can be against us? And we just declare that word today, that you are for us. And if you're for us, who can be against us? Would you just steal your heart for a moment before God? I feel the Spirit of God in this place this morning. And would you just receive today? Here's what I hear God saying this morning. He's here to help you today. So right now, just right there, can we just take a time out before we dismiss, before we go anywhere else? And would you just have a meeting with God right now, right in your seat? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And I want you to receive the help from God here this morning. Listen, I want you to hear God speak to your heart that He's for you, that He's right in your situation. Some of you, you feel like you're about to give up, you're about to throw. But hear God today say that He is for you. He's not against you. Position yourself. Position yourself. Position yourself. Would you just lift a hand to God, or two hands? Would you just somehow just respond to God right now? Would you just somehow in your own way just respond to God right now? Say, God, I expect your help. I know I receive your help today. Lord, as the psalmist said, I lift my eyes up to the hills. I lift my eyes up. I know where my help comes from. Would you just respond to God right now and say, God, I thank you for your help. I thank you for your strength. I thank you that you're for me and you're not against me, God. I thank you that you're with me, God. No matter what the challenge, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, I thank you that you're for me in Jesus' name. Come on, just praise him right now. Just thank him. Come on, respond to him. Respond. Just like Paul and Silas responded, just respond to him right now. We respond to you, Jesus. We receive your help. We receive your strength, God. Just respond. The Spirit of God is here. Just receive Him today. Receive His touch.